good afternoon to all the internet audience. Focus is a contemporary news and information show that will produce segments on health, politics, and the general lifestyles of the American people. Focus is produced by the show's executive producer, Tyrone Capers. The show will give internet listeners a family-friendly choice as an alternative for broadcast media. And today on Focus, we're producing a health segment on sexually transmitted diseases. You hear a lot about HIV and not much about HPV. And this segment is HPV and HIV on Focus. And in the studio is our special guest from the Columbus Department of Health here in Columbus, Ohio, is Makita Porter. And Makita, on the behalf of Focus, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tyrone. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Great. Makita, for our internet listeners, could you just tell them your title and what you do for Columbus Health Department?
Sure. Again, my name is Makita Porter. I manage the Prevention Services Program at Columbus Public Health, which is a part of the Sexual Health Program. And what we do is work with persons who have HIV and or syphilis, and we help to assure that they receive the treatment that they need. And then we also talk with them about partners and try to assure that their partners are tested and treated as needed also.
Oh, okay. Sounds pretty serious, pretty in-depth. I want to go into a little bit about HPV first. Mm-hmm. And then we may be able to have a little time to get back into what you do in depth. Could you tell our internet audience, what is HPV?
HPV is a virus. It stands for human papillomavirus. It actually is the most common sexually transmitted infection.
Okay.
There are more than 40 types that can infect the genital area of males and females. And these HPV types can also infect the mouth and the throat. Most people who have HPV don't even know that they do have it because they don't have any symptoms.
Oh, wow. That's scary. How long has HPV been around, or what was it discovered?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Do you know, can you tell our listeners how it's pretty much acquired, HPV is acquired?
Mm-hmm. It's acquired through sex, so okay. An unprotected vaginal, oral, or anal sex.
Okay.
Or by touching it or rubbing an infected area.
Okay.
So it's passed through genital contact, most often during vaginal or anal sex.
Okay.
But it can also be passed through oral sex, genital to genital contact.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it just basically unprotected sex that it could be caught through, or?
Not only, because sometimes the area that's infected can be outside of an area that's covered by a condom. So
okay.
Even if one is using a condom, there's still a possibility if
okay.
The area is not covered by the condom.
So the
that
condom
it still
isn't a foolproof choice.
Not when it comes to HPV, because if the condom's not covering the area that's infected by,
okay.
Then again, it can be transmitted from partner to partner. However, it is the best choice still.
Okay. Pretty scary.
It is.
What are some signs and symptoms of HPV?
Again, most people don't have symptoms.
Okay.
But they still can pass the virus. So
okay.
If someone does have symptoms, they're going to occur between 2 weeks and 3 months after they were with someone who had the infection.
Okay.
And if they do have symptoms, it's going to be an irritation or itching in the genital area.
Okay.
And then warts or bumps on the genitals, lips, tongue, and or mouth.
Okay. Is there a specific type of test for this?
The test actually that's available will test for cervical cancer, but not
wow.
for HPV. So there's no general test for men or women to check one's overall HPV status. Nor is there a test to find HPV on the genitals or in the mouth or throat. But HPV usually goes away on its own without causing health problems. So an HPV infection that is found today will most likely not be there a year or two from now.
So does the virus lay dormant for a period of time, or it can reoccur?
You can always be reinfected,
okay.
But your body can actually clear the virus on its own after a couple of years. It can. It doesn't always, but okay. It can.
Oh, okay. When you run into people that are HIV positive, or mm-hmm. when you get people that come in and they're positive, what's one of the first procedures you do to comfort them and offer them some choices as far as where do they go from here?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're testing people for HIV,
okay.
one of the things that we talk with them about is what would they do if their test was negative,
okay.
and what would they do if their test is positive. So we try to not only provide a test result for that person, but also to get them to think along the lines of what sort of a plan would they have if they have a negative test result, or if they have a positive test result. So okay. who would they speak with? Do they have a medical provider? You know, who is it that they can, if anyone, talk with about this major health situation that they may have?
Okay. Going back to the cervical cancer,
mm-hmm.
When you said someone tests positive for HPV, what type of test does that entail to you?
The test for cervical cancer is a Pap test, or a Pap smear.
Okay.
So when women go to an annual gynecology appointment, oftentimes there's going to be a Pap smear that's done,
okay.
To help assure that there aren't those changes in the cervix that would indicate that there may be some cervical cancer there, which is oftentimes caused by HPV.
Okay. What about for men?
For men, I'm not aware that there's a screening test.
Okay.
So it's more of a diagnosis based on symptoms. So if the warts are present, and which is the same for anyone,
okay.
a visual exam is going to be able to determine if that person has warts,
okay.
which the cause of the genital warts okay. is HPV.
Okay. What portion of the population is becoming infected with HPV? Do you have any numbers or statistics on that?
I do have some numbers on that. And so about 20 million Americans are currently infected with HPV.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Another 6 million become newly infected each year. It is so common that at least 50% of sexually active men and women will get HPV at some point in their lives.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an age group that you could break it down?
I actually didn't bring any numbers on age groups,
okay.
but if you look at younger persons,
all right.
They tend to have more sexual partners, thereby
exactly.
increasing the number of we'll call them opportunities for infection.
Right, okay. There's a lot of people out there being infected, basically trying to get the message out that you need to, reduce or eliminate sexual partners. What does the Columbus Health Department do as far as try to get that message out about being more sexually safe
mm-hmm.
Among sexually active adults?
Yeah. We do a lot of work in the area of prevention, and
okay.
we work with, we have several partners in the community that we work with in order to reach people where they are throughout Columbus.
Right.
We do have a lot of folks who come to the sexual health clinic,
right.
but then there are some people who, for whatever reason, don't get to the actual health department building, and so we do work to bring those services out to the community, and services include education, so to give folks the information that they need to make choices that are healthier for them, which would be communicating with your partner, so being able to talk to that person about, how many partners have they had in the past, do they
okay.
use condoms,
right.
Being, an advocate for oneself in order to be able to protect oneself. We talk about condom use, and we are able to provide condoms to people who may not have access to them for whatever reason. And then we also provide testing opportunities in the community at different events or different test sites, just to increase accessibility so that folks are aware of what their status is.
Okay. How many different types of sexually transmitted diseases are out there right now? Do you have any numbers on that?
Oh, a lot. In general, I mean, the four
major ones,
the ones that you're going to hear most about are going to be gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, and syphilis.
Okay.
But there are, you know, trichomoniasis is a bacterial infection that's fairly common. You might hear it called trich.
Okay.
HPV, which is what we're talking about today.
Okay.
NGU or non-gonococcal urethritis.
Oh my goodness.
Which is a a bacterial infection that's not caused by gonorrhea. So it's kind of group it in that area. So there are several, you know, there are numerous infections that can be acquired.
Okay. Let's go back to HPV. How is that treated? Do you any information on that?
Well, it's treated through medication or surgery. So the
surgery?
Yes.
Wow.
The warts can be removed surgically.
Okay.
Or there's medication that can be applied topically.
Do you have a name of the type of medication?
I'm sorry, Tyrone, I didn't bring that with me.
Okay, no problem. But it can be either treated with a medication, an ointment, or is it a shot, or
the warts can be frozen, mm-hmm. or surgically removed. So I'm not a medical provider, so that's right. Kind of the extent of the information that I could give you right now. I certainly can bring that back in more detail.
Okay.
Next time I come back,
okay.
But I'm sorry I didn't bring it with
no
me today.
No problem. Going back to syphilis and gonorrhea, are we seeing those numbers come down amongst young people?
Actually, we are seeing an increase of syphilis in Franklin County.
Okay.
We absolutely are. This year, compared to the same, right now we have statistics through April.
Right.
So from January through April of 2011 compared to January through April of 2010,
right.
We're seeing about a 50% increase in syphilis infections. Syphilis is a bacterial infection that's curable.
Okay.
However, if it's not cured, then it can cause some significant damage.
Is it still fatal if it's not cured?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, you definitely want to get that point across.
Yes.
We're going to get ready and take a break here in the show. And when Focus returns, we're going to go into a little more depth about HIV and AIDS and where that's at right now. Welcome back to Focus. We have an interesting topic today about HPV and HIV and all types of sexually transmitted diseases. And in our studios is our special guest from the Columbus Department of Health, Makita Porter. Makita, it's been great having you here, and we're going into another segment, and I just want to welcome you back to the show.
Thank you, Tyrone. I appreciate that. Can I throw in real quick?
Sure.
Before we go on to HIV, I just wanted to mention that there is a vaccine for HPV.
Oh, okay. Great.
There is a vaccination that's available, and I would encourage folks to talk to their medical provider about that.
Okay.
It's a vaccine that's recommended for males and females ages 9 to 26.
Okay.
And
you have a name of the vaccine?
Yes. There are actually two.
Okay.
There's Gardasil, which is made by Merck, and then Cervarix.
Okay.
Which is a GlaxoSmithKline product.
Okay, do you know how they're applied?
It is a shot. There's a series of shots.
Okay.
And
for which one of those?
Both of them actually are shots.
Okay, they're both shots.
And I didn't bring the actual schedule of the shots, mm-hmm. but your medical provider would be able to go over that with you.
Okay.
And you want to make sure, whether it's two shots or three shots, that you finish the series in order to be fully protected.
Okay. And what's the name of those again?
That would be Gardasil, which
okay.
is made by Merck.
By Merck.
And Cervarix, which is a GlaxoSmithKline product.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Going into our second segment with HIV and AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, as we all know, was discovered in 1981. Testing began about 1985, and it started out as a gay disease. Now, you know, it's a heterosexual infection. Anyone can get it, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
It can be commonplace. What portion of the general population is being hit hard right now? Do you have any numbers on this right now?
Well, I do. The CDC estimates that more than 1 million people are living with HIV.
Okay.
In the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, 1 in 5 of those people is unaware of their HIV infection,
scary.
Which is why we always want to encourage folks to test and
right.
to know their status.
Right.
The best way for, or I should say, the best mechanism of prevention is to know that one has an infection.
Exactly.
Yes, and to receive treatment for that and assure that they're not transmitting that to other people.
Okay.
Despite the increases in the total number of people living with HIV in the United States in recent years, the annual number of new HIV infections has remained relatively stable.
Okay, well, that's somewhat good news.
That's somewhat good news.
Okay.
But the number of new infections continues at a level that's far too high.
Okay.
There is an estimated 56,300 Americans becoming infected with HIV each year.
Wow.
That they estimate that there's a new HIV infection every 9.5 minutes in the United States.
Wow. Okay. Is there an age group that's specifically being hit hard, or ethnic groups?
We continue to see that men who have sex with men comprise about 50%
okay.
of all new HIV infections in the
okay.
United States. So the majority of HIV infections are still going to be within the men who have sex with men
okay.
group, and that's the population that's most severely affected by HIV.
Okay.
In regards to heterosexuals, they account for about a third of new HIV infections in the United States.
Okay.
And then injection drug users represent about 12% of annual new HIV infections in America.
Okay. What are some of the symptoms of HIV? I think we all know some of them, but could you just go over?
I can. I certainly will. But I did want to mention, I'm sorry, I should have put that in there a little
no,
bit
go ahead.
Sooner. But
go ahead.
As far as African Americans
okay.
Are
yes.
certainly disproportionately affected by HIV.
Okay.
African Americans make up about 12% of the U.S. population, but we account for almost 46% of new HIV infections annually.
Wow.
So definitely a disproportionate number of HIV cases are amongst African Americans.
Are you still, in the African American community, are you still seeing a lack of testing, wanting to come in to be tested?
Yes, we are. In 2008, there was a survey that was done amongst African Americans, who again make up about 50% of HIV infections in that year, 2008. Yet only about 3 in 5 African Americans reported that they had ever been tested for HIV.
Oh my goodness.
So yes, there certainly is a need for education and information to get out into the African American community so that we can encourage folks to test and then seek care if they need it.
Right.
And continue to practice prevention methods.
Okay. Let's go back to symptoms.
Okay.
What are they?
Most of the time, people aren't going to have any symptoms.
Okay.
And that's with any, most STIs, most sexually transmitted infections.
Okay.
People don't have symptoms. And so with HIV, you know, for 10 years or so or longer, a person can look and feel fine and not
be aware.
For 10 years or longer.
Wow.
It really depends on the person.
So the virus
but that's the average.
The virus can just lay dormant?
Yeah, that's one way to, it's still detectable via a test. So if somebody tests within that period,
okay.
then they're going to know if they have HIV or not.
Right.
But they just aren't going to have any symptoms.
Okay.
When people do have symptoms, they may have fatigue, diarrhea, unexplained weight loss, severe or recurring yeast infections, persistent night sweats or fevers, or flu-like symptoms.
Okay.
So those are some of the symptoms that they can experience if they do have symptoms.
All right. Are there different strands of HIV?
HIV-1 and
okay.
HIV-2.
Can you differentiate one between two, or is there one less fatal than the other, or do they pretty much kill the immune system? And
you know, there are some differentiations between the two.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't review that information prior to coming here,
okay.
so I would hate to speak on it and kind of go from a somewhat distant review, but that information is researchable on the internet.
Okay.
If folks want to go to cdc.gov, which
okay.
is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, then you can certainly find that information. And again, when I come back, I'll be sure to bring some of that information.
Great, definitely. Is AZT still an effective form of treatment for AIDS patients to prolong their lives?
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good question. Treatment's not my area of expertise,
okay.
but I can tell you
okay.
that the treatment that is available for HIV has evolved, and medications have become more advanced.
I've heard a lot.
Treatment regimens have been proven to be much more effective. People are living longer, healthier lives.
Right. When the disease first started, you've seen people just, you know, lose all this massive amount of weight, and then they just died within weeks.
Yes.
And you're not seeing that now.
Yeah, you really don't see that as often, which HIV is a more manageable infection, but you still don't want to have to manage it.
Exactly.
So prevention being that first line,
exactly.
Not acquiring the infection initially is what we really want to see. We want to see people practicing safer sex, reducing their number of sex partners, being able to communicate, which is the first line when
right.
When we talk about HIV and other and prevention of other sexually transmitted infections.
Okay.
So again, it's more manageable, but it's also preventable, and you don't want to have
right.
to manage it.
Definitely want to prevent that type of infection, yes. Do you have any numbers on life expectancy now for the HIV person or the person living with AIDS? Because it used to be anywhere from about 2 years to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
now with the newer drugs that are prolonging life, what are some of your numbers
yeah.
on life
expectancy? You know, and a lot of it has to do with when folks are testing. So
okay.
if you're testing and one is learning early on that they have an infection and they seek that medical management, then
okay.
they're gonna have a healthier, longer life.
Okay.
So according to the CDC, treatment for HIV is most effective before symptoms develop.
Okay.
That treatment can do much to slow the infection down that leads to AIDS and eventually death.
Okay.
So, without treatment, a person infected with HIV will develop AIDS in about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
With early treatment, for example, a 25-year-old adult can survive, on average, 39 more years.
Okay. Just from having tested early and begun treatment early, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what the CDC is saying. By knowing one's status and seeking that treatment, that medical management early on, working with your doctor to decide, you know, what's best for you to maintain your health, then the outcomes are much better for those folks.
Okay. And is you said it's more than just AZT that's an
yes.
option out there. Do you have any names of any other type of drugs that are helping the HIV
That you know,
persons?
There really is an extensive list of medications,
okay.
which speaks to the evolution of the medical management for HIV. So there really are numerous medications and people refer to them as drug cocktails or regimes that can be followed in order to help them maintain a healthier life. And so, you know, in working with your medical provider, they could help you to decide, you know, what is the most effective, when to start,
okay.
What to start, and kind of monitor you along the way to assure that, yes, your viral load is going down,
okay.
which is going to result in an increased number of T cells or a healthier immune system.
Okay, what are the T cells?
Your T cells are cells within your body that help you to fight off infection.
Okay.
So it's a way of measuring the efficacy of your immune system.
Okay. Is there a cure on the horizon for AIDS?
You know, there's a lot of research that's being done as okay. far as a cure or a vaccine for HIV.
Anything looking promising that you know of?
Well, I've heard a lot, you know, just little bits and pieces here and there.
Okay.
I couldn't speak to any one research study that is saying that one is more promising than the other.
Okay.
What I would do is I'm going to go back to the CDC and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Okay.
That's cdc.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Or the National Institutes of Health.
Okay.
So NIH.gov are both
Great.
Really good resources for...
So people can just access that information over the internet?
Absolutely.
Great. And in closing, I guess I want to, plug your organization. where can people go to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, folks can go to their private docs, you know,
okay.
going to your private doctor is always an option. And we know that some people either don't have a private doctor or they would prefer to come to the sexual health clinic, which is great. We are experts on the subject, and I can give you our clinic hours if we have time.
Okay.
we're open on Monday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. And then on Tuesdays, 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Wednesdays, only in the morning from 7 a.m. to 10:30. And you can access that information on our website, which is publichealth.columbus.gov.
Okay. Makita Porter from the Columbus Department of Health, our special guest on Focus. Thank you so much for coming, and we hope to have you back.
Thank you, Tyrone. I appreciate it.
And a special thanks to Mrs. Ashley Satyo and her husband, Vinny, for their professional support of Focus. And focus on your world today. Thank you for inviting us in.